So the emergency department really is ready and able to take care of everything we have in the past. I think that the big changes that we have been seeing is that our volumes are down significantly, our volumes of patients. So we see a lot less patients in the last few weeks than would be typical for this time of any other year. And, you know, we're seeing essentially two things that we're prepared for. We are obviously very prepared for patients with COVID or COVID-type symptoms, but we are also absolutely prepared to take care of all of the other medical needs that are happening right now, too. And I think sometimes people feel like right now emergency departments or EMS is all about COVID, and they're afraid to call EMS or come to the emergency department if they're having serious symptoms, for example, symptoms of heart attacks and strokes and that sort of thing. And right now in all of our emergency departments, we still are seeing far more of everything else than we are of COVID. Even though COVID's getting the spotlight, we are still seeing all of those other things.
Well, set the entire scene for us. Most folks may know at least what the entrance to the emergency room looks like. That doesn't look the same today. And inside the emergency department, just give us an overview tour of what's happening at the back of the hospital now.
If you come into the emergency department, the first thing people will notice is that we are doing screening of everybody that arrives. That is to make sure that the visitor policy, which is very tight right now, is followed, as well as to screen patients to identify which ones are having COVID symptoms or COVID concerns. The next step is that patients will be asked to go in one of two directions. They may be asked to go into the emergency department, where, again, we're taking care of heart attacks and strokes and broken bones and that sort of thing. Or they may be asked to go to our ED treatment tent. And the treatment tents are set up to be sites to take care of people who have COVID-type symptoms, where they can get testing if they meet the criteria for a test, and they can get appropriate care and instructions for those symptoms. Part of the reason that we have them separated into two areas is to keep the emergency department as safe as we can for every other patient. And I can assure you that our emergency departments right now are very safe, in some ways much safer than anything you're going to encounter if you're, you know, out at the grocery store buying gas or whatever. You know, we ensure that everybody in there is wearing a mask so that all of the other patients, no matter what they're there for, are wearing masks to protect everybody. The staff are all wearing masks. We do have separate areas for people that have potential COVID symptoms, and they go into what we call negative pressure rooms, where none of the air from that room goes out into the hallways or into the emergency department. It all goes out through a ventilation system. That leaves the rest of the emergency department a very, very safe environment for people who are having chest pain or, you know, fractures or other things that need to be cared for in the emergency department.
Tell me about the volumes of people you're dealing with in the emergency department today.
So our volumes have been down substantially for a number of weeks now over what they normally would be. And in some ways, that's a good thing because it means that we stand at the ready. We still have the same staffing, and we are still ready to be prepared to take care of any patients that come in, whether they're related to COVID or not. One of the things that bothers us a lot is that we are seeing a dramatic change in the serious patients, or I should say patients with serious injuries coming to the emergency department, or serious illnesses. So, for example, heart attacks coming to the emergency department, those numbers are way down. And we're concerned because this is a national trend. And we believe that a lot of people that are having symptoms that might be warning symptoms of a heart attack are staying at home because they're afraid to come to the emergency department. And there's a lot more damage that could come to somebody by ignoring or being fearful of getting their chest pain checked out or their stroke symptoms checked out than there is any risk to coming to the emergency department and getting an infection. The problem that we're seeing is that those patients then, when they do present, they are much sicker and they may have had far more damage to their organs like a heart or brain if they have put off the symptoms and then maybe days or a week later have a more serious condition and they've had more damage.
And you have seen this? People who waited much longer than they should have to come to the ER?
Yes, absolutely. Telling people when the right time is to come to the emergency department is always a little bit tricky because we really want to always in healthcare get the right patient to the right place in the right amount of time. And for some people with, you know, the sniffles and that sort of thing, the right place has never really been the emergency department. It you can see a primary care physician for those things or urgent care, that sort of thing. But when people are having serious symptoms, symptoms that might be symptoms of heart attacks and strokes and that sort of thing, you know, the emergency department is the place that is best set up to take care of their serious injuries and illnesses. And nationally, the American College of Emergency Physicians just recently identified that, you know, the volumes are down and we are seeing more and more of these across the country where people are putting off coming to the hospital, and then maybe their heart attack becomes a cardiac arrest and they die from it, or you know, examples like that where people can get much, much worse if they put off the early warning sign.
Describe the protocols that an individual would find if they go there if they think they have the COVID-19 symptoms.
So if they think they have the COVID-19 symptoms, first of all, I would encourage them to call our COVID hotline. The COVID hotline is staffed by the nurse advice line nurses, and they have protocols to go through the patient's history, their background, to determine who is high risk, determine who even meets the criteria to have a test. Sometimes, you know, patients are having symptoms that aren't COVID and aren't going to meet the FDA criteria for tests. And we would like to identify those things up front. The hotline can do that. But if they come to the emergency department with symptoms that they believe are COVID, they are likely going to be sent to the ED treatment tent. And, you know, the advantages there are we're sort of separating treatment areas in the emergency department of those for COVID and non-COVID. We're also sort of separating our waiting areas. If somebody has COVID symptoms, they might be asked to wait in the waiting area of the tent as opposed to the waiting area of the emergency department, where we really, number one, don't want to have patients or visitors in a waiting room anymore. But if somebody does have to be there for a short time, we want to make sure that the COVID patients are isolated from there. So COVID patients may be asked to wait in their car until it's their turn, or they may be asked to wait in the waiting area of the treatment tent where everybody is spaced out. And then in the treatment tent, they would be assessed by an advanced practitioner, a physician's assistant or nurse practitioner. Those individuals are under the oversight of the emergency physician, and they screen patients for mild symptoms and then do a test if it is appropriate and give appropriate minor treatments and instructions for home care.
Under what circumstances would somebody be admitted?
The admitted patients, as part of that screening process, we screen for things like through a meter, how much oxygen is in your blood. Patients that get admitted for COVID generally are being admitted for pneumonia or serious respiratory issues. And lack of oxygen in the blood is one of them. So as they get that screening process, if any of those things fall out, if they find significant pneumonia on a chest X-ray, if they have oxygen that's low in their blood on the meter, there are some other things that we also look for. If they hit any of those high-risk things, then they're likely to be admitted for their COVID. And that would be a process to admit somebody in the hospital to one of our COVID floors. And just like the emergency department has taken lots of efforts to separate potential COVID cases from the rest of the emergency department population, that happens upstairs too. So we have wings of the hospital that are appropriate for the patients with COVID or suspected COVID, and those people are tested and are admitted to those negative pressure rooms on entire hospital floors of COVID. Other patients go to the non-COVID floors once they've been screened and are ensured that they are not a COVID patient.
In terms of the staffing and maybe just the appearance of the emergency department and the testing area, describe the pace of activity that's happening. We've all seen pictures of the swamped emergency rooms elsewhere. We have a more systematic approach here. You please describe your emergency department these days.
Oh, certainly people have seen pictures of the overwhelmingly overcrowded and run emergency departments in some of the real COVID hotspots. We are doing everything we can to plan so that we don't get to those situations. We have plans for secondary and tertiary and quaternary places to have overflow areas to take care of the patients that need to be taken care of and to staff those patients. But what people will probably be most struck by if you're in our emergency department right now is the number of people with the PPE or personal protective equipment on. So the patients will be wearing masks to help protect everybody, just like the governor's order of everybody should wear a mask. The mask you wear protects everybody else, and the mask that everybody else wears protects you. So everybody is masked is one thing, but the other thing is that for more significant procedures on patients with COVID, people will be in the gowns and the respirator breathing devices over their head and that sort of thing. And we're giving the same care that we would give. We're just taking those extra precautions, and I think the patients, those precautions can be a little off-putting because it does decrease the personal nature of being able to, look at somebody's full face and mouth as they're talking to you and have that personal human touch of that's so much an important part of medicine. But obviously it is for everybody's protection to do that. So you will see some people in the full PPE, and you'll see that with our EMS crews too. If a patient has symptoms that are suspicious for COVID, the EMS crews are going to be wearing that personal protective equipment just like the emergency department staff does. But people should understand that underneath that are a lot of caring healthcare individuals who are committed to giving the same quality and level of care. Even though the masks and gowns and that sort of thing can make it seem a little less personal.
Well, I want you to dig into that still further. You're alluding to it, this idea of the human connection and the fact that there's people on the other side of the PPE. And
well, I think on the hope side, again, in emergency medicine, I have never been more proud of our specialty of emergency medicine and the specialty of EMS. The people that I have had the opportunity to work with for years now, nobody's running from this. People are stepping up. People are volunteering to assist in any way that needs to be when we need extra time and that sort of thing. And they're committed to the same level of care and quality of care that we always want to deliver. On the other hand, there are difficulties to working with the personal protective equipment, and I'm just thinking of a personal experience I had recently treating an elderly woman and trying to communicate with her through the face shield, and I realized as I had the face shield on and a mask over my mouth and eye protection on and the gown that you lose the personal touch being able to hold a patient's hand skin on skin, that sort of thing. But the other thing that I noticed is that frequently I'll leave the room and realize that I just feel like I was yelling at somebody because everything is muffled around you and you're speaking through this mask and face shield, And you know, and those kinds of things do make it difficult. I think it makes it a little less personal than we are used to dealing with when we deal with patients, and you sometimes feel like these constraints are causing you to be yelling instead of having a nice conversation with a patient or something like that. But you know, those are things we have to work around to be safe. Short of that, we again are staffed with a number of people, with everybody who is just committed to, you know, giving the same high level care and quality of care that we give any other time.
Anything else to tell us? Maybe I didn't ask a question that elicits a good response or a good answer, or something you'd like to tell us.
The main thing is that between separating waiting areas, keeping people out of waiting areas, separating patients that may have COVID symptoms, using lots of personal protective equipment, and putting masks on everybody, the ED is a safe place. I just feel absolutely terribly about the fact that there are people that might be sitting at home with a heart attack, having damage happen to their heart, or with symptoms of a mini stroke that put it off, and 3 days later come in with a devastating stroke because they were afraid to come to the emergency department because they think it's all COVID. It really isn't. The majority of patients that we are seeing right now, the vast majority, are still patients that are not COVID-related issues. And people should feel comfortable that if you have a true emergency, the emergency department is there to serve you and do those life-saving things that we do all the time.